Mr. Chairman, I think you're muted if you're talking.
Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, you're right. So that's what I needed to get cleared up, was the 50,000 that you're looking for right now is essentially part of the bond money. It's just being advanced through a different code right now, and then will be backfed after.
That's correct. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't want anyone to think that this was in addition to the bonds that we approved. That is, anyone here on the council, or also anyone sitting in the public that was asking these questions. Okay, I'm clear on that. Thank you, Luke. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Just a comment that this is an excellent program. And Lucas, I thank you and the administration for all the work that you're doing on this. We see the big time savings that we're going to receive right away, and we definitely need those. And I applaud the leadership of this administration to tackle this infrastructure issue. And I look forward to supporting it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Well said. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you,
Lucas. Item 2021, workstations, laptops, tablets, found on page 181.
Thank you. Phil Carlucci, MIS Director, City of Warwick. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6, exception to bid for workstations, laptops, tablets, printers, copiers, and computer peripherals. The effective through date of this request will be June 30th, 2021. The purchases will be made from the MIS hardware budget code 25231 as budgeted, with spending limits not to exceed $60,000. This is our normal expenditures for the year to maintain the computer systems. It's dramatically less. It's less than 50% of last year's request. If you remember last year, we had a very large amount of replacements we had to go through because of Microsoft stopping support on Windows 7 and moving everyone to Windows 10. We did our best to upgrade those systems that could get a little more life out of them rather than replace them and replace the ones that we had to. The only change we have this year is that we're adding in the printers and copiers. I'm being cautious. What I had put into the bid request for the time and material repairing of printers and copiers was that any repair that exceeded, I believe it was 66% of the value, the then value of the printer, had to have my approval before the repair was done. And the reason for that is I don't want to invest Band-Aid money when it may be more cost effective to buy a replacement unit or maybe something even a little bit smaller, reevaluate what we're using in that particular area. So in order to accommodate those, what I've found out, especially through equipping people to do the home office, was that WB Mason and Amazon really have the best printer and copier prices out there compared to the other vendors. I am requesting the list of vendors that's attached to this letter. And I did check before I wrote this request up. I did an audit on last year's expenditures. If you remember, I asked last year to use a number of vendors and that we do kind of a mini bid because equipment changes so rapidly. It's hard for me to pin anyone down at a given point in time to say, I want you to bid on this equipment. By the time we go to buy it 6 weeks later, that equipment isn't valid anymore and there's different equipment. And we have kept meticulous records each time we had a significant purchase of computer equipment in the past fiscal year. John did a great job of documenting 3 to 5 requests for quotes that we had gotten back, and we chose the low bidder, the low quote each time. So that method of doing it was successful. And it is available if you're interested in seeing any of those purchases. We do have the information available. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Phil. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you.
Thank
you. Item 2021-118, medical examinations, police, found on page 184.
The police department is requesting spending authorization for psychological testing for police applicants pursuant to City Ordinance 56-6. Earlier tonight, I had requested a 612 extension of the current contract. This right here is for the next year's contract that will take us through September of 2021. We are requesting $8,400 in spending authorization that will allow us to administer 14 psychological exams to recruits.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the public? I'm sorry, from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
Favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Aye. Ayes have it. 2021-119, magnetic forensic training, found on page 186.
The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization for one detective to be enrolled in the Magnet Forensics Training Annual Pass. About a year ago, I came before this committee regarding our succession plan for our computer forensic unit. As I had stated then, we have several senior detectives that are assigned to that unit. They have 27, 28 years on. Knowing it takes years to acquire all the necessary training courses and certifications, we have begun sending younger detectives to these schools, detectives with 7-8 years on the job. So if and when retirements do happen, there'll be a seamless transition. So we already possess the Axiom software, the Magnet Axiom software, but in order to properly use it and be able to testify in court, users must pass at least 2 certification courses. The 2 required courses cost $5,998. This 1 year passed is essentially the same money, costing $5,995. This will allow this detective to take every course they offer during a 12-month period online for essentially the same price. If approved, this funding will come from budget code 363-0411, our 2018 Burn JAG grant.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Item 2020-121, Rising Genesis Intelligence Training, found on page 216.
The department is seeking exception to bid and authorization for one detective to be enrolled in intelligence training. About a year ago, the department created an intelligence officer housed within the detective division. This training program specializes in crime mapping and analytical automation training with a special emphasis on social media intelligence. This is a 6-month training program. Having our own intelligence detective has been extremely beneficial, especially with respect to the current climate and the civil unrest that's happened around our area. The cost for this training is $3,997. And again, this will come from our 2018 Burn JAG grant.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second by Councilman Howe. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Ayes have it. Last item, 2021-126, police detail tracking software, found on page 227.
The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to purchase detail tracking software. Special details average approximately $2.5 million in billing each year. Despite this, the department still operates with pen and paper when assigning officers details and Excel spreadsheets with respect to billing and accounts receivable. The command staff and police union both researched available software and were impressed with the DTS system by SystemWorks LLC. This software is used by over 20 agencies in Rhode Island to include Cranston, North Kingstown, and West Warwick. It is also used by the Fall River Police Department, who also have Munis for payroll purposes, so that system is already seamless and works well together. Our neighboring agencies are very pleased with this product and haven't seen any issues yet. The need for this software is twofold. First, we have a morale issue with respect to details. Details are assigned by seniority. And not a week goes by where I don't receive a complaint that a senior officer was skipped on the detail list. Because the details are assigned off a paper list and a pen and paper spreadsheet, mistakes are made on a regular basis. The second issue we have is invoicing. Currently, our records management system, IMC, has the basic capability to create an invoice, but the IMC system is now severely outdated. No further updates are available and is actually being phased out due to the state wanting to transition to a statewide records management system. The new system does not have invoicing capability, so in the very near future, we will have no way to generate an invoice for these details. And then on a third level, we have to track incoming payments and accounts receivable via Excel spreadsheets. So there's a lot of moving data entry, and as you can imagine, a lot of mistakes occur in that data transfer. The software is a cloud-based system that automatically assigns details via seniority. When a vendor requests a detail, the information is entered into the software. Throughout the day, the officers can log into the software and see what details are available. The officers then bid on the details if they want to work, and if they don't want to work, they rank them in the order they'd like to be assigned. The system then launches at a preset time, in our case, probably 7 p.m., and the software itself will automatically assign details based on seniority and based on the ranking those senior officers entered earlier in the day. This will alleviate mistakes and the perceived favoritism of certain details being held back for certain officers. Everything will be transparent to every supervisor and officer in the building, so that should clear up that side of the issue. Additionally, this software has the capability at a click of a button to generate any number of reports. For example, if I click on National Grid as a vendor, I can immediately have a report generated that states every detail that National Grid has asked for, where it was, when it was, how long it took, what officer was assigned, and if their bill has been paid yet. Click of a button, that report is generated for any time period I choose. When payment is received, the system automatically applies the payment to the oldest invoice and generates an updated invoice immediately. Invoices can be automatically emailed to vendors as well. This software streamlines the whole process and will ultimately benefit the city in a better tracking and accountability system.
Thank you, Major. I appreciate the detail on that report. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. We have no acceptance of any minutes. Moving on to PCR 7120, consent calendar bids. Item two, PCR 72-20, resolution relative to abatements. Neil, go ahead.
Good evening, Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month we have abatements in the amount of $51,661.03. I will say that the majority, 96% of the abatements tonight are due to exemptions. And for the most part, those were people that held off due to COVID-19 concerns. Obviously, we didn't want them coming in just to get their exemption at that point in time. So with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Neil, I'm looking through this, and I mean, there's some larger amounts, but certainly nothing like we've had in the past. It's just a lot of items, $1,000 or less in abatements. And just tell us the reasoning again for the quantity of these abatements.
Well, because of our local ordinance that allows people to apply for their exemptions up until December 15th, many people held off to request their exemptions if they turned 65, if they were eligible for the circuit breaker program. Because of the COVID crisis, they did the right thing. They stayed home, they protected themselves, they didn't put themselves at risk. And the city is there to protect them and to make sure that we still grant them their exemptions that they deserve. But I think that's the lion's share. Anything that starts with NEA for the reason code is a new exemption application. Those people did not apply before. So those were simply after the bills went out and they realized they hadn't yet applied for the exemption and they came on in and did it at that point in time.
Fair enough, makes sense. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public?
There is one question from the public.
Okay, thank you. Would the member of the public please identify yourself for the record, please?
My name's Roger Duran.
Yes, Roger,
go ahead. I have a question for Neil. You were talking previously, one of the participants was talking about the collection agency with Rossi and the like, seeing that Neil's tax collector, is that correct?
I don't have any knowledge about the collections rate or anything like that.
Well, no, my question is basically this. When do you send the accounts over to collection? How long does a taxpayer get before that is sent in for collection?
No, we don't see the payments in my office. We certify the tax roll once per year, usually around July 1st. And from there,
right. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Neil.
It's just
I heard about you gave it.
We certify the tax roll one time per year at the end of June, beginning of July. And that's the only
right.
time we send information over to the tax collector.
Okay, so you have nothing to do with collections then?
Nothing at all.
Okay. I was just trying to find out, especially in this day and age with COVID and the like, and a lot of taxpayers in Warwick are hurting quite a bit. I was just curious as to when we turn it over for collection. But I'll have to wait for that question to be answered for another day.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to.
Thank you, Neil.
All right, Roger.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I think that the tax collector would be able to answer that question. You don't need to do that now, but if you could just respond to the taxpayer with a reply on that. Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
PCO 1120, an ordinance in regards to approving the financing of the design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, equipment, and extension of the city's sewage collective systems. Councilman Howe, Councilman Travis, for second passage.
Move for second passage. Request favorable action on second passage.
Do we have any discussion on this?
Mr. Chairman, this is something that is very much needed in both our wards. I know we spoke on it before, but we definitely need these repairs done before we have another disaster.
Councilwoman Travis, I certainly feel your pain, share your pain, and understand the necessity of dealing with this sewer collection system and the issues surrounding it. And I support this completely. Councilman Howe, did you have anything to add?
I asked for favorable action on the second passage. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? I see we do have...
There is one question from the public.
Okay, would you please identify yourself for the record, please?
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, my name is Roger Duran. I have a question for you, Councilman, with reference to this. Last month when I had asked the question, what was the total debt of the WSA, Lynn had told you that she was going to get that information back to you. Did she, and what is the amount?
Are you asking me the question?
Well, she was going to get the information back to you. So I was wondering, did she get the information back to you?
Roger, at this time, I honestly cannot answer that question. I don't recall if I received it or not. If I did, I do not recall the content, but I can check on that tomorrow.
Okay, maybe the sponsors of the bill can tell me what the total debt of the WSA is.
Would anyone have a comment on that?
I do not know that. However, I do know that these upgrades and these emergency services are desperately needed for the safety of the city. Thank you.
Okay. So let's go to the next question.
I don't have the total either. I'm sorry.
Okay. So let's go to the next question. It mentioned at the last meeting that this is on the priority list for 2020 from BEM. Did anyone go back and check the priority list? Because it's on the website, BEM's website. Did anybody bother to go back and check the list? Because it's rather interesting when you look at the list. Did anybody do it? I'm sorry, Ed, I can't see this, so maybe you can answer for me. Is anybody going to answer that question?
I did not, Roger.
Okay, well, let's make this simple. Right now on the DEM priority list, there are exactly 157 projects throughout the entire state. To the tune of those projects, add up to over $1 billion. And this is all public knowledge. You can Google it right now. Do you know where this airport interceptor sits on these 157 projects, what number it is? Because the way the director, acting director, led us to believe last month that, oh, it's no problem getting the money. Does anybody want to guess where airport interceptor sits on a list? Now, there are 157 of them. They rank, airport interceptor is 148 out of 157, the lowest of the low. Oakland Beach is 154 out of 157. So I don't know how we're going to get this money. But the next question I have is, she talked last week about a $7 million project, or last month. Is that correct, Ed? Total of $7 million.
I believe.
Okay. Do you know what's listed on the DEM preferred list? Oakland Beach is $1.3 million. An airport airport project is $4.3 million, for a total of 5.6. Why are we asking for $7 million? Can anybody answer that one?
Is there any input on the amount for $7 million?
Yes. Yes, no, it just says if you go on to this prospect list, and I'll forward it to you, I'll send you a copy of it. It just says Oakland Beach, $1.3 million, Airport Interceptor, $4.3 million, for a total of $5.6 million. This is what's being reported to DEM. That's on the document. So what I did is, not being satisfied with that answer, I went to the Secretary of State's website for open meetings. And I went back to the WSA discussion, the minute of the meetings the WSA had on this, and it was $5.6 million. But they said, let's make it $7 million. So they admitted, if you go to the open meetings on the Open Meetings Act with the Secretary of State, they say it's only $5.6 million for the two projects, but we'll add another $1.4 million. That's what they said at the WSA meeting. So I think we have a lot of problems here. That's why I'm saying, again, no due diligence is done here. This is rush, rush, rush with the WSA, like always. But the facts are, the numbers aren't adding up. So can anybody answer me why the numbers don't add up? Number one. And number two, as I asked the director last month, who has talked with the people at DEM to make sure we're on the list, because the number 57 is the most, the number one on the number they put next to it means it's got a 57% chance. These two projects have a 4% chance.
Roger, I would comment to your question regarding why 7 million versus 5.6 or whatever.
Correct, 5.6.
Right. The actual language in the request, it says bonds and notes, therefore, in an amount not to exceed $7 million. So this is a not to exceed item. It's not granting or cutting a check for $7 million. It's in an amount not to exceed $7
million. Yeah, but Council Chairman, you know as well as I do, the WSA will grab the $7 million and run. Come on. You've dealt with them longer than I have, Ed. You know the games they've been playing. So my only point is, do we have a problem? Absolutely. But there's been no due diligence on this. And all you had to do is go to the website and Google in the WSA 2020 priority projects. It's right there. You could do it from the laptop you got in front of you right now. So my only question is, why didn't anybody do this? I'm only a taxpayer. And this is Ed, you know my experience with the WSA. Verify, question and verify. So I don't want to belabor the point. But again, the due diligence wasn't done on this. And this gets back to what you talked about before, Ed. We don't have a time clock watching every move we make. We have to do things that are proper and prudent for the taxpayers, and it's not being done. So thank you, Ed, very much for your time.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Do you have any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCO 11-20.
I move favorable.
Thank you. Seconded.
So we have two motions for favorable action. I'll assume there's a one and a two in there somewheres.
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman. This is Councilman Howe. Thank you.
Councilman Howe. I appreciate that. All in favor?
Aye.
So that's three ayes. Next item, Pension Board, PCO 7-19 for first passage, not drafted, hold until September 9th. Next item, PCO 29-19, an ordinance relative to tangible property tax regarding vacant storefronts. For first passage, not drafted, Councilman Sinapi.
Hold till the 9th, please.
Thank you, sir. Hold till September 9th.
I'll make a motion to hold to September 9th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold till September 9th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Mr. Chairman, just for the continuity, could we also put a motion forward for number 4?
We have a motion for favorable action. We have a second. All in favor?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I know. On item PCO 7-19.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's the one I just did.
Yes, sir, but we didn't call a motion. So I move for to hold until the date you identified.
I know, Councilman, I'm with you. I was just trying to save you some breath. I said
hold to 9-9.
There you go. Hold 9-9. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank
aye.
You.
Thank you.
Item number 29-19. We also had a motion. We had a second to hold. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Item 8-20, an ordinance relative to the ratification of teacher contracts and support personnel contracts. I make a motion to hold till September 9th.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
PCR 195-19, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health insurance benefits. Councilman Sinapi.
Hold till the second meeting in September, please.
Hold, make a motion at the request of the sponsor to hold till September 21st.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next item, PCR 11-20, resolution relative to repairs to the damage at Lippitt Park. I'll make a motion to hold till September 7th. September 9th, in hopes that this will be completed by that point. Need a second?
Seconded.
We have a
motion.
Once
the motion's made and seconded, I have a question.
Okay, motion's made, seconded. Go ahead, Councilman Sinapi.
It's my understanding that those repairs have been completed, but you know better than I.
Okay, well, certainly feel free to take a ride down there and take a look at it, Councilman, and see if they're completed. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Next item, PCR 15-20, a resolution relative to school bonding consideration for the 2020 ballot. This is obviously a moot point at this time. There's no way that it's going to be getting on this ballot. So unless anyone has an objection, I'll make a motion to withdraw. Anyone have an objection to that? Make a motion to withdraw PCR 15-20.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And PCR 29-20, is a resolution memorializing the General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing the City of Warwick to issue not to exceed $10 million general obligation bonds, notes, and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the construction, renovation, improvement, alteration, repair, furnishing, and equipping of athletic and or recreational fields and facilities for the city's high schools, subject to approval of state housing aid at a reimbursement rate of state share ratios and not less than 35% at the time of issuance, and provided that the authorization shall be reduced by the amount of certain grants received from the state bond proceeds from the Rhode Island Department of Education or from the Rhode Island School Building Authority. Councilman Sinapi.
I didn't catch that. Can you do that title again for me?
Sure, I'll give you the title. The title is PCR 2920. The rest is up to you.
All right, can you just hold that till the September 9th meeting, please?
At the request of the sponsor, I'll make a motion to hold till September 9th.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 41A-20, resolution addressing the fiscal request for education for fiscal year 2020-21. Councilman Sinapi, not drafted.
Same request.
Holds at the request of the sponsor. I make a motion to hold until September 9th.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
PCR 49-20, formerly 2020-293. Janitorial and cleaning supplies. I believe the department head had requested that we hold that. James, are you prepared on this one to speak?
I am, Mr. Chairman. James Scott, Parks and Recreation. That was held, I guess, on the price list. You'd asked me to find out how much it was in a pail. And a pail, I have to confirm with Director Sleetro, a pail is 5 gallons. That was your question on the price list.
Okay. And having said that, everything else is in order?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you for getting that information. I need a motion. I'm sorry, any questions from members of the committee, members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 62-20, 2021-250, professional auditing services. Make a motion. We hold till September 9th.
Councilman.
Yes.
I would like to make
a change. I'm sorry. That's your item. That's not mine. That's
mine.
I withdraw that. All righty. You go
That's
right
very
ahead.
Important to me.
You go right ahead.
After the last council meeting, I thank you all for your due diligence and putting a few things on my radar. When I the next day, I reached out to the state's auditor general and communicated that there were some perceptions about a conflict of interest with the Markham agency. So since the last meeting, the auditor general has now recommended that we award this bid to Clifton Larson Allen. I had some concerns about them not doing work in Rhode Island previously, but I reached out to their reference in the city of Worcester and the city of Waltham, which are both very big places, and I feel very confident that they'll be able to handle the city of Warwick.
And just refresh our memories here as to the numbers of that bid. What I see in my bid package is just the item from professional auditing services awarding to Markham for $192,000.
Correct, and that number is actually city and school. Oh, sorry, no, that's 3 years. This also awards it to, the school department will have to award it as well.
So who is it that the recommendation is for now?
Clifton Larson Allen.
And what is the difference in the amounts?
On the city side, it's $27,000 a year.
Up or down?
Up.
So it's gonna cost us $27,000 a year more with Clifton Larson?
Correct. I really wish other firms would bid, but I've only got these two to choose from.
So perhaps we should go back out for bid.
Nobody else will bid.
Why?
Trust me, I tried.
What did you try?
Pardon?
What did you try?
I contacted, first of all, our previous contract. They are not interested. I mean, to be blunt, we've been very late historically, and it causes a huge problem for these firms. We run into their tax season, and it just becomes a big problem. And I feel really confident with this big firm that they will get the audit out on time. I should also add, I have great staff here to get it out on time. Mm-hmm. And we're really ready to hit the ground running as soon as we get this award done.
Any comments or questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. I agree with Lynn. This is a very important thing. We got to get the audit done. We got to get it done on time. And I know that they are ready to rock and roll once this is approved. So I just think she's making the right recommendation for the city at this time. So I will be supporting it. Thank you.
Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would support going to this one. I do realize the challenge that we were faced with in coming to this conclusion, but the city does need an audit and it needs an independent, untainted audit. So I would support this too.
So everyone feels that it's justified to spend an additional $27,000 to do this audit? Is that what I'm hearing, Councilman McAllister?
I will say, I think that the value of having an untimely audit for the city is priceless.
And you don't feel that Mockum will be able to deliver a timely audit?
I'm concerned about the perceptions about their bias. I don't doubt that they could get it done on time. I doubt whether it would be thorough and unbiased, I guess, based on what I've heard.
Mr. Chairman, I could answer my feeling on it. I would not vote for Mockum. I would find serious issue with Mockum. There were some things that maybe should have been disclosed that weren't disclosed, which makes it a very biased, in my opinion, audit. I want an independent audit. If we're going to spend money for an audit, I want the audit to be complete, concise, unabated. I don't want outside interference. I don't want people who are trying to influence or items trying to influence things. If we're going to do an audit and we're going to spend the money, get the correct audit done, and do what needs to be done. And right now, I don't think Mockum is the company to go with. Or not right now. Absolutely, Mockum is not the company to go with. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions from members of the council?
Councilman Ricks has a question.
Councilman Ricks.
If I may, this all just strikes me as very strange. We had the two bidders come to us earlier. We had the $27,000 difference in the bids, and we previously heard that the lowest bidder is not just the preferred bidder for that reason, but the preferred bidder on the merits. Now we're hearing that there is a perception that there might be a bias, and it's all just a bit confusing to me. And I think that I have heard some of this information. I think I know where some of this is coming from. And I guess for that reason, before we get ourselves in some situation where we're applying some brand new standard into a bidding process with taxpayer dollars, which something that always concerns me, and I certainly don't have any direct information or knowledge of anything on this. I just know from my experience, not just here on the city council and doing my due diligence in that regard, but previously working for a law firm back when I was in law school that represented five different cities and towns at that time, that these sorts of bidding processes, this is where trouble can come in the form of lawsuits from the low bidder who does not get the bid. And then it wouldn't just be a matter of the $27,000 difference. It's a matter of, okay, now we have to go through that whole process. There's always a risk when we determine that a bidder is qualified. And that was all said here on the record at the last meeting, and then we end up going with another bidder. That's just a concern that's always in the back of my mind. Beyond that, when we're talking about such large firms, I don't have the exact statistics in front of me, but I think that we're dealing with firms in both of these cases that have either hundreds or thousands of employees. I'm not sure. I haven't done that sort of research on them, but we're certainly talking about very large firms, and I'm not even sure if the person in question is even somebody who is an equity partner or actually has any stake in the business or its profits, other than perhaps being an employee. And at that point, what exactly are we going to do when these sorts of things come up in the future? If we are going to hold ourselves to this standard, are we going to go and search Facebook and LinkedIn and do some sort of exhaustive internet search to see the connections between all of the employees or elected officials, et cetera, of the city of Warwick in comparison to all of the employees or principals or major investors, stakeholders in these major major companies that are bidders. Because if we're going to go down that road, it's quite the mess. And of course, it's Rhode Island, it's New England. We're always going to find that there are some connections with people who know each other either socially or know each other and have some sort of business relationship or the like. And obviously, if somebody has a business relationship, then their, you know, money changing hands, anything like that, then that person is going to have to recuse themselves and abstain from the discussion and the vote. But I don't think we're even really talking about that here. Not to go into any kind of details, because I know the hour right now, I know that we're still in the Finance Committee meeting, but because we're talking about a $27,000 difference, and because it seems like we're setting new standards here that could really bite us potentially here and also potentially in the future, I want to make those concerns clear that I have, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howell.
Thank you, sir. In response to Councilman Ricks and to the members, and I want to make this clear, he's absolutely right. Rhode Island is a state where you're 2 degrees from everyone. That's why there is a checks and there is a balances. That's why we have ethics sheets. That's why we have PCRs. If we have a bid that is passed throughout the committee, it is then, if there's a conflict, it is supposed to be withdrawn as a PCR. It was not done. So I am not going with, due to a conflict of a serving member on the council, I am not going with this company. And I am more than happy to go with the second bidding company. I've done this. This has nothing to do with a vendetta against the company. This has nothing to do with trying to award to a second company. I am looking out for the protection of our council, the protection of a member, myself, a member of this finance committee, upon finding out information I was not aware of when I made a vote and then made a final vote. So again, I am doing this. I brought this up in the last meeting, and I'll say it now. We have a situation where the checks and the balances were not done correctly. So I am trying to withdraw us from working with one company because of the conflict and go with another company. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So that brings me back to my original question. Why don't we just go back out for a rebid?
Nobody's going to bid. I'm really confident nobody else is going to bid. You know, when I called the Auditor General and consulted with him, whose opinion that we have to take in the highest regard in Rhode Island, he was actually seemed excited to get them into Rhode Island. I think we kind of get into this opinion that we can only use Rhode Island firms, but this company, they audit Boston, and I look forward to them coming in with kind of fresh eyes and giving us some better ideas and some possible process improvements. There aren't a lot of firms in Rhode Island, and there aren't a lot of firms that can handle our volume. And I know it seems a bit strange, I've changed about face, but it's really after calling their references, consulting with, you know, the decision makers up at the State House, and I feel really confident with CLA. Councilman, you're on mute.
I say this certainly puts things in a totally new light regarding the bidding process.
It's frustrating, I know. And I will say for the record, I don't take spending this taxpayer money lightly. I don't.
Any other questions, comments from members of the committee?
Yes.
Yes, Council President.
Since this involves me, I'll weigh in. It is not a conflict of interest, and everybody should take the time to research what a conflict of interest is before they open up their mouth and make political statements rather than factual statements. We happen to have the attorney here for the Ethics Commission for I don't know how many years, okay? If someone doesn't receive a financial benefit, it's not a conflict of interest, okay? That's like saying if we went to Webster Bank or Citizens Bank and any of us had bank accounts at those institutions, that that's a conflict of interest and we should recuse ourselves. Or if we have investments in a company because our 401k invests in there. You know, there are issues that with this issue in particular that, you know, keeps perpetuating itself. And I find it interesting that the administration last year, when we were talking about issues regarding the school department, hired this firm. This administration hired this firm to represent the city in litigation when it came to the Carullo action. And I think Lynn's analysis, first analysis, was right on. If you have a conflict of interest or you're concerned about a conflict of interest and you're this administration, then you turn around and you say, hey, I'm concerned. I think there's some sort of bias. We're not going to hire him in the litigation against the school department. You know, it's enough with political statements rather than factual statements. It's completely untrue that there's a conflict of interest in this case. And I get it. We're in an election year. Everybody wants to make their political statements on issues. But if there's a conflict of interest, then you don't hire them last year. And in this case, there's no conflict of interest. And that's my statement, Mr. Chairman, on the record. Obviously, everybody's free to vote whatever way they want to vote. But it's just disconcerting to have a cloud, you know, continue to be cast over something that's clearly not a conflict of interest. For the record, I have no financial interest or no financial gain from Markham being hired or not hired. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Councilman Howe.
Since I opened my mouth, I guess I might as well make it clear. Yes, the president is right. I am speaking about his issue or him. My issue comes from whether he made money or not. I have no evidence. That's not the issue. When we came on this council back in December of 2017, we voted to give Markham and the committee a contract. It went to the full body. It was not pulled out for PCR. The council president, then councilman of, well, still councilman Ward 9, but not council president, abstained from the consent vote, did not identify that one issue. That one PCR did not identify bid 2018-207. He then goes ahead and abstains from the whole thing, fills out an ethics report that says he was a business relationship with someone, but for bid 2018-207. That was not mentioned on the council. I personally was not aware of that. So whenever we kept getting things on Markham and YSKM, we just thought, okay, there's no reason to question that. So now we have a situation where the person, and this is where the big concern comes in, where we're doing an audit that has been generalized quite a lot, And then we find out that there's an ethics complaint against the president where it's a financial, it's a campaign finance issue. The same person that is associated with the company.
Excuse me, Councilman.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No, yes. I think we are, getting somewhat
Well, I want to make it clear, Mr. Chairman, he's saying that this is a political issue. This is an ethics issue. This is an integrity issue. And this is something that I was used as a pawn to help promote this business. So again, it was not pulled out for PCR. I was not made aware. I don't think you were, Mr. Chairman. I don't think Mr. Councilman McAllister was, but he abstained from the entire vote. Now, I welcome the solicitor to answer my question. Is it common for someone to abstain from an entire calendar vote, an entire consent calendar vote, instead of withdrawing one bid item and identifying the PCR? This one item, I don't see how it's possible. I don't see how it's ethically possible that this was not identified in the public forum, in the open, to the city council.
That this is totally off the track of the difference between going with Mockham and Clifton Lawson.
I'm so ready to talk about the bid.
You're what?
I've been waiting for quite a while with my little hand up.
Okay, I haven't seen it, so just bear with me one second, Councilman.
Fair enough.
So I think it's appropriate to get off the personal attacks all over the place.
It wasn't a personal attack until someone brought up, I opened my mouth for politics.
I am ethics. Councilman Howe.
I apologize, thank you.
I am making a statement right now. I think that we're getting off the track of the issue. And the issue is why Clifton over Mockham. We're getting into personal attacks in every direction. And I don't feel that's necessary. Councilman Sinapi, thank you for your patience. You have the mic, sir.
So putting aside the conflict of interest issue for a moment, those that may recall last time Mockham came before the council, there was growing discontent, not just from the council, but from members of the public as well, with Mockham and the services it was providing to us and with the manner in which Mockham was recording those services. And we basically kind of had like a come to Jesus moment where we said, look, this needs to be fixed. We need to feel comfortable with this going forward. And lo and behold, we got an itemized bill from Mockham sometime later, and I know I wasn't comfortable with what I saw, both with the amounts and with the entire lack of detail. It was unclear what, if anything, in much of their billing that they kept track of in a manner that which could actually inform us of what they did. Much of what they did was never disclosed to us, even now. And if you wanted to have that information told you, you had to go to them individually and thus run up the bill even more. It's ridiculous. So there's plenty of reasons to vote no on this, regardless of a conflict of interest. Not to mention that, I mean, normally for bids, you can factor in, for what I've seen, at least that's come before us, things like the reviews and recommendations from outside sources and people who have otherwise used them. Lynette mentioned that she did exactly that and wasn't happy with what she heard. That's a factor that you can weigh into this. We can also weigh into it their prior performance for us, which, as I've just noted, I was not satisfied with. And I can tell you, the school department wasn't satisfied with them either. And they said so during our public meetings. So there's a long list of people that was dissatisfied with Markham's performance. I don't need to target an individual because, frankly, it's not necessary. I don't need to bring in the conflict of interest issue because, you know what? There was more than enough reason to vote no before. And if you recall, Councilman Howe was ready to vote no last time, too, before the Auditor General was involved at all. And I don't blame him. There was plenty of reason to vote no last time. There's plenty of reason to vote no now. It's not just the fact that, okay, they cost more, this other company, at least they'll do the damn job right.
Any other questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to amend this to award, give the award to Clifton Larson, CLA. I just need the new contract amount number, please.
Lynn, are you working on that amount?
Yeah, let me just double check myself.
Thank you.
Don't want to state anything for the record and then regret it.
$364,500.
Yep, that's for 3 years. Yep.
And what was the previous amount from Mockham?
Was that city only, Lynn, or is that inclusive?
That is city. That is city only. School department, school committee has to award their component.
Hi, Lynn. This is Solicitor Walsh. This isn't Solicitor Walsh. I'm looking at the bid package from the July 13th meeting.
Yes.
And the chart between the two. According to the Markham, the fee was across the three fiscal years was $63,200, $64,000, $64,800. Right. That adds up to, I believe, $192,000, which was the awarded bid or the original low bid amount for city only. Is that correct?
I think it was $195,000.
The package I have in front of me.
$192,000
for city only. So looking at the city same only. Chart, I'm seeing for the Clifton Larson Allen bid, and I'm happy if
I apologize. It's $272,250.
That's what I was going for. $90,000.
My little formula was messed up.
Just so everyone understands how we get there. In the same chart, we're showing for the three fiscal years. The fee for city audit bid from Clifton Larson was $90,750 for each of the 3 years, which would be a total of $272,250. Is that correct, Lynn?
Correct.
So, Councilman McAllister, the amendment that you're moving or putting in on, yes, moving, is to amend the bid to be awarded to Clifton Larson Allen LLP in the amount of $272,250. Is that correct?
Councilman McAllister, you agree
correct.
With that?
Correct. Sorry. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion to amend. This already has a PCR on it. So I don't believe we need a new PCR. No. Okay.
Is there a second?
The motion to amend to award to Clifton Larson in the amount of $272,250. Is there a second?
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We have two yes, and I vote no. Okay, I think
thank
that
you.
Takes
care Mr. Chairman, of could you move it as amended?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or have it have
PCR 6220 as amended.
I move favorable action on PCR 6220 as amended.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion to move as amended. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We have two yes and one no. I'm sorry, and we do have one more item. That is PCO 17-20. For first passage, Councilman Howe.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this is something, as you know, Mr. Chairman, we've been talking a while now about how do we get more businesses involved. You know, at the very beginning, about 3.5 years ago, we wrote up with Councilman Callister, your leadership, and myself, we wrote up legislation that, you know, involved the Small Business Administration, that involved the Secretary of State's office for our purchasing department to go out and to get more vendors to come in and bid on bid for city jobs and projects. What this does is, we've had a long discussion, as you know, Mr. Chairman, quite a few times we've had it where we've had Warwick businesses come before us and they're missing, they meet all the requirements, but they're not the lowest bidder. And we have to make a decision, but also we don't want to go ahead and violate any ethics or kind of throw up red flags, if you will, for these businesses. So what we did is, I came up with this, after years of looking into it and looking at different and speaking to many different people and many different department heads within the city of Warwick, we came up with a formula where it says it gives the finance committee the ability, as well as the department heads, the ability to identify Warwick businesses. And if a Warwick business is within 7%, and that's just the generalized number I came up with, Mr. Chairman and honorable members, this is not the official percentage. If a Warwick business comes within 7% of the lowest bid, they can be considered for the project or the bid, to be awarded the bid, favorable action on the bid. Where did I get the 7% from? I used the tax rate for the city, the state of Rhode Island, as a base. So I welcome discussion. I welcome input. This, again, is just yet another layer of becoming more business friendly to those that decide to invest into Warwick and work in Warwick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. I just have a few questions on here before I make a request of you. I assume that you have vetted this with legal counsel, and there is no state laws or federal laws that prohibit us from giving the 7% advantage to a local contractor. Is my assumption correct?
Your assumption is correct, Mr. Chairman. And as the mentioned, the Solicitor Connolly spoke to me personally. He identified some clean house cleaning issues concerning our ordinances within the city. He added them to it. So we are good to go. It does not trump any other. It does not, like, you know, overstep any other ordinances that are already in place, any state laws that are already in place. And so far, all of it seems to fall in perfectly legal. It's just another way where we are trying to become, let Warwick businesses, you see, we'll have the benefit, understanding that Warwick businesses are paying taxes in the city of Warwick. We have the ability now to spend our money, even if it's a little bit more than the lower bid, to support the businesses that come to our city and work.
Thank you on that, Councilman. To Solicitor Connolly, is there anything that has changed from the last conversation you had with Councilman Howe up until this minute to prevent us from giving this 7% advantage to a local contractor?
Mr. Chairman, no, and you'll note that it doesn't mandate that you award, it allows you to consider it. And the specific provision of your local ordinance that Councilor Howe is addressing is that you do have to declare this in the bid documents when they go out, so that everyone bids on it understands that this will be a factor that will be considered by the council.
Thank you for that. Councilman Howe, I think this is a significant move that you've done. I do want to commend you on your due diligence to put this together, to meet with the solicitor. And as we all know, part of democracy is being able to disagree on issues and vet it from time to time, put the gloves on, sometimes take the gloves off. But at the end of the day, that's what democracy is all about. And we have a responsibility and an obligation to debate those issues. Sometimes it has to be debated on the floor, other times it doesn't. In this particular case, I absolutely agree with you on this. I think it's a very good piece of work on your part. And I would respectfully request that you allow me to sign on as a co-sponsor on this bit of legislation. I think it's a significant move for the city of Warwick and for the businesses who are in the city paying the taxes, and the bit of businesses that also happen to be owned by folks that also live in the city. I think it's a great job, and I would respectfully request you allow me to sign on as a co-sponsor.
I'm honored, Mr. Chairman. I think it's only appropriate that you sign on as a co-sponsor, seeing that you've always encouraged, and when you took over as finance chairman, you definitely, one of the challenges you let us take on was find ways to make it more accessible for Warwick businesses. So, and also our discussions concerning just a few meetings ago on many different topics. So absolutely, thank you.
Good job. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. And I also want to commend Councilman Howe for this piece of legislation and doing the work on it. I think it's great. And as the solicitor pointed out, this just gives us the option to consider. So we're still encouraging people to bid from all across the world if they want to bid on our contracts here. But we also wanted to acknowledge that companies that are based here in Warwick, they are paying taxes, they were a part of our community and stuff like that. So we want to factor that in as well. So this gives us the option to say, hey, these two companies are pretty close. They're both qualified bidders. They both knew exactly if this is laid out in the bid spec. They knew exactly what they were bidding on. You know, this gives us the option that say, hey, you know, the Warwick company is right up there. They're very, very close. We can factor in all the other things that they're doing for the community, paying for their taxes and stuff like that. So this just gives us another option when we're looking at bidders coming in. Again, this is not to discourage other companies. This is just to encourage more Warwick companies to apply, but it's just, we're laying it right out. We want to make sure everybody knows when they're applying that this is one of the things we're looking at. And that's you know, very important. Everybody sees what is required here. And I think this is a great benefit to the city of Warwick businesses who are a major part of our community. The people that work for these Warwick businesses are our friends, they're our neighbors. They're part of our community. So this is just one way we can help. We can look at that. Again, it's not a guarantee, as both of you have pointed out. This just gives us the option, and it gives us a percentage that we can look that if a Warwick company is real close, we can, if they're qualified, we can choose them. And I commend Councilman Howe. I know he's been working on this for a while. You know, we're continuing to try to make Warwick a business-friendly place. We need to continue doing these things, and I would also love to be a co-sponsor on this. And I commend you for your work on this, Councilman Howe.
That would be great. Thank you, Councilman McAllister. And I do want to identify also that many department heads. I spoke to many department heads. I want to thank Pat Petska. I want to thank many department heads within the city who came up with ideas and were willing to sit down and talk to me. So it was definitely a team effort, but I look forward to the co-sponsors. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks, you had your hand up first, then Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. I'd also like to thank Councilman Howe for his work on this and would similarly request to be added as a co-sponsor.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I also want to congratulate Councilman Howell. He's been on this from the day one since he got on the council. And, you know, I think it's a great thing that we support the Warwick businesses. I also would like to ask to be a sponsor.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Absolutely. Thank you.
Councilman Sinapi.
Ditto.
Ditto. Thank you.
I think the entire council would like to be added as co-sponsor. Anyone disagree?
Could I ask a question, please?
Sure, you sure can, Councilman Cawley. Go ahead.
I understand the purpose of the suggested PCO. My question is, what is the objective measurable criteria that is determined to say that it is a Warwick business?
Oh, I understand. I understand what you're asking, Councilman. So is it if it has a Warwick address, so it could be, you know, we can discuss this. And again, I welcome any kind of discussion. And as I said, even the 7% was just a baseline. A franchise, let's say, that has a store in Warwick. That store is paying from the franchise, they're paying taxes in Warwick. In my feeling, they would qualify, but that is definitely something we could speak of. But as long as the address of the company that is bidding has an address based in Warwick, that qualifies them. But if there's another measure, you can let me know. I'm welcome. As I said, I want to discuss it.
No, I just wanted to bring it up because what you said about franchises is something that went through my mind, and I was just... I think that because this is not a binding discount, that the criteria that could be brought up on an individual basis when we're talking about a company that may choose to have a satellite business set up in Warwick in order to take advantage of this. We do have some common sense, I believe, as a collective group.
And that's the great thing. You're absolutely right, Councilman. And that's the great thing, where it's at the discretion of the directors, and then also it gives us the leeway. Thank you,
thank
Councilman.
You.
Thank you,
Councilman Howell. I'd also add that if a business has a mailing address here in the city of Warwick, they have an office established in the city of Warwick, they'll also be paying. Not inventory tax, but the tax on furniture and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll be certainly certified as a Warwick-based entity.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Thank you, Chairman.
Welcome. Any other discussion regarding PCO 17-20? Any other comments from members of the committee? Council, any questions from members of the public?
Oh, if I
I'm
may.
Sorry, I'm sorry, yeah. Councilman Ricks has a question. You had your hand back up. Go ahead, Councilman Ricks.
I would just add that we can also look at the criteria of how they are registered with the Secretary of State. Any business that is doing business in Rhode Island, even if they are an out-of-state business, should be registering with the Secretary of State. And based on those filings, if they have an address in Warwick, then that's certainly something that we should also be considering. It obviously does get a little complicated when it comes to franchises and businesses that have multiple locations, but at least we can know exactly where they're headquartered.
Many of them will also be required to be either licensed, as I spoke to earlier, or registered, depending upon the type of company they are. So there's a lot of criteria that we would have the flexibility of using to certify if it's a Rhode Island Warwick contractor, sorry. Okay, hearing no questions from members of the public, I will ask one more time if there's any questions from members of the public. Hearing none, I need a motion. Councilman Howe, would you like to make that first motion?
Thank you, Chairman. A move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes on first passage. And that does conclude the finance package. Council President, two things. One is, I believe we have a public hearing that we have a stenographer that's waiting. And I would respectfully request that we move to the public hearing and move back to committees afterwards, but at the moment, a 5-minute recess, if we may.
You have to address the Public Properties Committee.
Why don't we go into public properties? But it is a public hearing. We have to recommend public hearing.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do it off the committee.
Yeah, why don't we convene the Public Properties Committee?
Sorry, works for me.
Okay, am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Good. Okay, let me open up that agenda. And the other two members of the committee are available.
Yes.
Going once?
I said yes.
Here we are. Okay. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 9:31 p.m. First, acceptance of minutes held from the previous committee meetings. There are none. And next item on the agenda is the item to be heard for public hearing. Item 1, PCO 14-20, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, John Dickerson, petitioner. Let's see, this is Ward 7, Councilman McAllister.
I ask that we open up to a public meeting.
Thank you. Do we have a motion from a member of the committee on that recommendation for the public meeting?
Yes, I move that we move it to the floor for a public hearing.
Do we have a second? One sec.
Yes.
I'm sorry, did I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it, passes 3-0, recommend public hearing. And let's see, shall we briefly finish the meeting? It appears that the remaining items are not drafted. We can do this very quickly if that is okay with the Council President.
That's fine.
Okay. PCO 30-19, ordinance involving state law regarding unutilized commercial property. Councilman Snappy advised that we may hold this to September 21st. Do I have a motion to that effect?
Yes, I move that.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Held to the 21st. PCO 10-20, an ordinance relative to amendment of the Warwick Zoning Ordinance, regulations for the installation of solar energy systems. This is for first passage, not drafted. Similarly, Councilman Snappy indicated that we may hold this to the 21st. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Held to the 21st. Fourth and finally, PCR 182-19, resolution regarding lease Cooper Building. Councilman Lattiser, shall we hold this?
We can hold till September 9th.
All right, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Held to the 9th. And that concludes the meeting at 9:34 p.m.
If there's no objection, why don't we move right into the council meeting because of the late hour? Does anybody need a break?
5 minute recess, Mr. President.
All right, we'll take a 5 minute recess.